Mark chapter 6, we want to look at one of the most memorable miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's always been a fascination by mankind concerning miracles. Even today, people long that they would be able to see a miracle. If you were trying to put a definition to what a miracle is, I think it could be defined simply as an extraordinary work of God, whereby God transcends the ordinary powers of nature. And as you go through your New Testament and you study the various miracles that the Lord performed, you will find that really there was a twofold purpose for the miracles that He performed and that the miracles that the Lord brought. The first purpose was simply this, that the message of God would be substantiated. God wanted to substantiate the message that He had given by means of the miracle. But also He desired to substantiate the messenger of God by the performance of that miracle. And in Christ's case, it was there to attest that His claims of deity were true. And God's desire has always been to get people to understand the message and to hear from the messenger. And although man has always been fascinated by miracles, man has always been a skeptic of God. The same is still true to this day. The biggest problems facing men today with respect to having a right relationship with God simply revolve around two truths. First of all, we don't believe in God. There are many in our culture and our society today that do not believe that there is a God. But it's very clear as we even look just at creation and we see all that is around us that certainly there is one who created all things. There is a God, for the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows us His handiwork. The other reality is, though, that man does not believe the Word of God. That which has been given to us by the inspiration of Scripture, man refuses to take God at His Word. In Mark chapter 6, the problem of unbelief was a problem that Christ wanted to deal with. And so He would take His disciples through some various tests to prove simply that He was who He said He was. And through this miracle in Mark 6, the feeding of the 5,000, He would begin to whittle away at their unbelief. I want you to follow along as I begin reading this morning in verse 30. We'll read down through verse 44 and then we'll ask the Lord's blessing. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew Him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as a sheep, not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto Him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread, and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when He had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, He looked up to the heaven, blessed and brake the loaves, and gave them to His disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided He among them all. And they did all eat and were filled.
And they took up 12 basketful of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Let's pray together. I'm going to ask Brother Kirk Pickett, if he would, to lead us in prayer before we look at the passage of Scripture together.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to look to your word. Do ask now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would do this work through the pages of your word and through our pastor, Lord. We pray that you be blessed and pleased and all that is said and done here for your honor and glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As we prepare to see the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 this morning, I want to begin by seeing the background to the miracle. It's important that you and I understand why this miracle was performed. Anytime you would take the study of a various miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ would perform, it's important that you ask simple questions. And one is simply, why was the miracle performed? Why did Jesus Christ choose to bring about this miracle? What was his purpose in doing such an act? Another question that we have to ask ourselves is, for whose benefit was this miracle? Did Jesus Christ feed the 5,000 for the sake of the 5,000? Did he do it for the sake of the multitudes who were hungry and in need of food? Was that his purpose? Was that his intent? I believe if you look at the miracle and you consider the background, that the purpose of this miracle and the reason for such a miracle wasn't for the multitude who were there, but for the apostles who followed him. It was for those who were ministering with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe this miracle is for their benefit, the benefit of his disciples who had been working closely with him and laboring and ministering with him. And I think you see that clearly when you really look at the background and you begin to look at chapter 6. I want to take a few moments and consider the background. So we go back to chapter 6 and verse 1. I want you to follow along. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and the disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick, and healed them." Verse 6 says, "And he," Jesus, "marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching." It's interesting to note that as the Lord Jesus Christ is ministering, he goes to his hometown. And as he comes to the hometown, he enters into the synagogue, and there he preaches and there he teaches. And what the Lord Jesus and what his disciples are confronted with is the problem of unbelief. They have been walking with the Lord. They have seen him perform the miracles. They have seen his mighty works. They enter into his hometown. And here the Savior preaches. Here he teaches. And what do they find? Unbelief. "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? Don't we know his brothers? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. They refused to believe. The disciples now are confronted with the problem of unbelief. He taught with great wisdom. He had caused the people to be astonished. But they refused to receive Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in verse 6 that the Lord marveled at their unbelief. I take note of statements such as that. That Jesus Christ would marvel at their unbelief. The disciples watched firsthand. They begin to see the problem of unbelief, a problem that they themselves are going to face in just a little while. But there is a problem with unbelief. You know, as I consider that thought, you know, you and I sometimes can marvel at the unbelief of others. Have you ever looked at folks and wondered how they could not believe? How can a person come face to face with Jesus Christ? How can someone come to the very brink of their eternal destiny and not understand that by believing on Jesus Christ and calling upon Him, they could be saved forever? How could someone come to that knowledge and reject Jesus Christ? How is it that some can turn from Him? The disciples were confronted with unbelief, just as you and I often are confronted. But the Lord Jesus Christ would do something more. Now that they were confronted with this unbelief, He would now commission them to go to unbelievers. And that's what we find now following, beginning in verse 7. And He called unto Him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. Be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And He said unto them, in whatsoever place ye enter into an house, and there abide until ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you when ye depart, then shake off the dust off thy feet as a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. The Lord Jesus Christ commissions them to go forth now with the message of repentance to those who unbelieved. He sends them out two by two. And after confronting this unbelief, He asks them now to go and preach to the unbelievers. What a commission. I want you to notice a few things about that commission that He gave them, if you would. Verse 7 says, they were not sent out alone. They were sent two and two. It also tells us that they were sent with power. They were sent under His authority. Verse 8 says that they were to go out in faith, taking nothing with them, believing that God would supply for their every need. And they were sent out, verse 12, with a message. Now when I consider that commission, I consider that it parallels our own commission. You and I are to go out into the world in love. And the Bible tells us we are not alone, for He is with us to the end of the earth. We have been commissioned by one to whom all power has been given. And within us there is one greater than all the world. Our work and our labor, our service is to be done in faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible makes that clear. As you come down to verse 13, here's what we find. They were successful in the ministry to unbelievers. As you come to Mark 6, we find them confronted with unbelief. And Jesus says, I now commission you to go out and teach others. Reach the lost. And there was success. They were sent out together. They were sent out in power, in faith, with a specific message to repent. And there was success. In chapter 6, verse 14 through 29, we find a confirmation of their ministry. It says, and King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves of him. Others said that it is Elias, and others says it is a prophet or one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John who I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. As you read this, you might kind of wonder, well, that kind of seems parenthetical. It really doesn't seem to say a whole lot about the whole story. What's the point? Well, the point I believe that we find as you read through that passage is simply this. Because of their ministry, because of them doing what God had commissioned them to do, the name of Jesus Christ was being spread abroad. It even got back to Herod. Hear what is happening. See the miracle. See what is taking place. And the name of Jesus Christ is spreading. There had been great success. There was a confirmation in their ministry. Even Herod had heard. Never forget that our responsibility in life and ministry isn't to make a name for ourselves, but it's to make a name for Jesus Christ. All that we do within the ministries of First Baptist Church, whether it be through our services, through our youth ministry, through our children's ministries, through the Christian school, through outreach, all is to be done that we would bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. We are to be spreading His fame and His name. We take the name of Jesus with us wherever we go. We serve in His name. We do all things to bring honor and glory to God. Nothing else. And there's a confirmation to their ministry. They were confronted with unbelief. They were commissioned to go. And the Lord Jesus said, there is proof that what you are doing is good and right.
Verse 30 through 32, we find the completion of their ministry. It says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. He had commissioned them to go. They were seeing the success and the blessing of God. And now the time of appointment was there. Their ministry was done. They came back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they reported all things that happened. Everything that they said and all the things that happened and took place. And Jesus says, come apart for a while. Your ministry now is done. Come and rest. Their job, their commission was now complete. They now come and give an account to Jesus Christ. By the way, can I remind you of this truth? You and I have been given a commission, have we not, in this world? You and I have been given a responsibility to go and take the name of Jesus with us and go into all the world and teach all nations. We are called to make disciples for His name's sake. At the end, the completion of that ministry, what is to follow? A time of accounting. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is a day coming where every believer is going to stand face to face in front of Jesus Christ, and you will give an account for the things that you have done, whether they be good or whether they be evil. He has given to each of us a commission. He has given to each of us a responsibility. Whether you're called to be a pastor or not, it really doesn't matter. You and I have been commissioned with the gospel. We have been sent out into this world. And there's a day coming where all of us will be held accountable to Jesus Christ. And we will share with Him what we have done. And the Bible says that we'll either reap to ourselves gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And His eyes are as a consuming fire. He will go through your life, and He will judge your life and mine. And that which is wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up, will be lost. But the gold, silver, and the precious stone, that will remain, and there's our reward. All of us will give an account. There's a day coming where our ministries will be complete. We'll stand before the Lord.
After that time of accounting, he called them to come and rest. They had finished their task and in need of rest. With all of that, we have the background now to the miracle that he is going to perform. And with that, we will now behold that miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. That's why I believe that the miracle of the 5,000 is not for the multitude. It's for those disciples. All that they had come through, all that they have experienced, they now come to a precipice and they come to a climax. And their problem is their unbelief. And now the Lord Jesus begins to show them that he is who he says he is. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of all, the Creator of all things, the God of heaven, that they may see and know him better. You know, as we consider those thoughts, as we consider that background, I'm mindful of this thought. God, at any moment for you and I, can take us through the experiences of our life and bring us to a point that he wants to teach us a valuable lesson. Are you ready to behold a miracle today? Are you ready to allow the Savior to work in your heart and your life? I don't know what you've been going through and what you've been experiencing day by day. I don't know what's taken place over the last years of your life. You don't know what's been going on in mine, in essence. And the reality is God is working. And many times he brings us through the various circumstances to bring us to a place of climax that we might see him for who he is. Are you ready to see him? The disciples now behold a miracle. And as we come to verse 33, we find that although the intention was to go to a deserted place away from the throngs of people and get their rest, the people still flocked to Jesus Christ. Their rest was short, but Christ had given them rest. I want you to see with me as we behold this miracle, first of all, the compassion of the Lord. Look at verse 34. We're told that as the people came unto them, verse 33, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. As they approached their destination and saw the multitude, I wonder what the apostles were thinking. He said he was going to give us rest. Here we go again. No time to even eat. There's all these people. I thought we were going away for a little bit of relaxation. Ministry again? I hope the Lord just sends them away, because he promised us rest. Just send them all home. I can only imagine that had to be somewhat their thought process. No doubt as they entered the ship and began to sail, they thought, this is going to be nice. What a wonderful time this will be. I'm looking forward to this. We need to get away. You ever feel that way? I feel that way sometimes. You as a church sometimes have come to us and say, you know, I think it's time for you to get away. Okay. We need some rest. Know what I find? No matter where I go, you know what someone wants to say? Hey, you want to fill in for me today? No, I really would like some rest. But you're here. Why don't you preach? Because I would like to sit. You know what I usually say? Sure, I'd be happy to preach for you today. You know, the reality is the disciples are probably thinking, do we have to minister today? Do we really have to? But we find the Lord Jesus with great compassion. And they would now witness that gracious display of compassion of the Lord. He was moved because he saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. They had a religion and it was vain, but they didn't know him. There was no relationship with their God. His compassion moved him to action, and he ministered them and he taught them all day. All day they ministered. All day they were there. All day he taught them. His compassion would cause him not only to desire to meet their spiritual needs, he was willing to meet their physical needs. And as he desires that, we find a complete collapse of their faith. We find the compassion of the Lord, but we find the collapse of their faith. Look at verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place. The time is far spent." What do they say? "Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages to buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." I don't imagine that's the response they thought they would hear. They said, "Lord, it's getting late. Send them home. We're done. We're tired. We're hungry. We don't have any food. They don't have any food. Would you just send them home?" And Jesus said, "Well, give them something to eat. Let's meet their needs." Although they had witnessed unbelief, and they had ministered to others in unbelief and seen the good hand of God in ministry, they now are going to struggle with their own unbelief. You know why? Because of the circumstances. This is a desert place. Because of the condition. The time is far spent. The day is gone. Lord, under these circumstances and under these conditions, we cannot provide for their needs. And Jesus said, "How much food do you have? Go find out. Come and tell me what we have." Because he desired to prepare his disciples and to provide for the people. They could see no way to meet the needs of the multitude. They wanted Christ just to send them all home. You know, the reality is, you and I sometimes exhibit that same unbelief. We read this morning in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, and in days where times are good, we would quote such a passage, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we ask or think. To him be glory in the church now and forevermore. But boy, when the circumstances change or the conditions change, so does our belief. We struggle with unbelief. Our theology tells us that he is capable, but our faith says it's impossible. It's here that the Lord Jesus Christ now performs that wonderful miracle. And I want you to consider the miracle with me for just a moment. Verse 39, we find these words. "And he commanded them to all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave it to them all, his disciples, and sat before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they all did eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men." As we consider the miracle, the Lord Jesus Christ will provide for 5,000 plus people with 5 small loaves and 2 little fish. No doubt the disciples probably thought when they came back with their report, "We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Lord, that's not even enough for our company." He said, "Make them sit." And the Lord Jesus, by way of miracle, provides for their needs. I want you to see 3 things about that miracle. Number one, it was suitable. They all did eat. There was not a single person whose needs weren't met by Jesus Christ that day through the miracle. It was suitable. It was also satisfying because the Bible says they were filled. of that 5,000 plus, not a single person went home hungry. We're going to have a fellowship tonight. Very few will walk away hungry unless they just choose not to eat tonight. I've been in some church fellowships where I walked away and thought, well, I guess we're going to have to stop and get something to eat on the way home. We had gone to church and there was the fellowship, and the tradition was that the pastor and I would dismiss everybody, and we got up to the table and we looked at each other and I thought, you coming to my house and I coming to yours? There was nothing left. It was cleaned out. Everyone was satisfied. And he sat there and went, okay. That's okay. But on that day, there was no one who went away hungry. In fact, the miracle was not only suitable and satisfying, it was sufficient. They collected 12 baskets full of remnants. It was like Thanksgiving dinner. They were pushing it away. No more. We can't possibly eat that much. He had completely met the needs. Why? Why did he perform the miracle? For his disciples, who were struggling with unbelief. They had witnessed it. They had even seen some success against unbelief. But in their own personal lives, when the circumstance was hard, the conditions weren't good, they immediately went to unbelief. He said he was who he was. Why can't we get some rest? By the way, there's probably no more restful place that they could have been that day than sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach the multitudes. There is no more restful place that you can be than sitting, quite frankly, in a pew on a Sunday, hearing the word of God proclaimed and your spiritual needs to be met. There's no greater rest that you can have than getting up and spending time with the Lord in his word and taking that time to be with him day after day. There is no greater rest than sitting at the feet of Jesus. Is he not the one who says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Take my yoke upon you, for it is light and easy. By the way, when you put a yoke on, are you planning to sit or work? Work. I thought he said rest. Now he's putting on a yoke. That means work. How many people are in a yoke? If you're in one side, who's on the other? The Lord. Remember, he said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. Amen? I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Those are his promises to us, his people. He gives us rest, even in the midst of our labors and our work. As we close this morning, I want to simply say that we ought to be alert to the miracle. What did this miracle teach his disciples? What valuable lesson had they learned? Well, if truth be told, at first, not a whole lot. In fact, if you pick up and begin reading in verse 45 down through verse 52, we're not going to take the time to read that this morning. We're going to find the Lord putting their faith to the test, and again, they failed. Verse 52 tells us that they failed because they had not considered the miracle of the loaves. But the Lord Jesus Christ, through this miracle, begins to whittle away at the problem of their unbelief. So let me ask you this morning, what can you and I learn from all of this? Will we, like the disciples, not consider what God is able to do? Is he not able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? Think back over the course of your life. Think back over the course of just the last little while. What have you found of the Lord? Have you been able to taste and see that the Lord is good? That His mercy endures forever? Have you not found that He is faithful in all things? That He supplies for your every need? That according to His riches and glory He supplies? That there is nothing you cannot handle with the Lord? There is nothing too hard for Him? Have you not found Him to be the judge of all the earth, doing that which is right? What have you learned from Him? What have you seen of the Lord? What blessings have you been able to behold? With those in mind, can I ask you the following question? Why then are we so quick to forget? Why are we so quick to turn again to unbelief? Go back to that day in which you turned to Jesus Christ and called upon Him as your Savior. That day in which you recognize, I am a sinner. Because of my sin, I am deserving of a punishment. I am deserving of a place in hell. And God would be just for sending me there. And the Lord opened your eyes and He began to take the scales away. And you began to see Jesus Christ. You saw Him face to face. And you understood that He provided for you through His love salvation. And all you had to do was ask Him to cleanse your heart and save you. And He would. Remember that day? Whether you were a child like myself or you were an adult, you should be able to remember that day. When that unbelief was taken from you and you believed on Him, and what joy came to your life. Throughout the years of your saved life, you have seen the Lord provide in wondrous ways. And why is it when conditions and circumstances change, we immediately go to unbelief? Folks, you and I need to be alert to the miracles around us, because God is doing great and wonderful things. Before us, the world is filled with unbelief. Around us are circumstances and conditions that seem to be impossible. But folks, God is able to do all things. If God was able to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, can He not care and meet your needs? Can He not provide for every need of our ministry? Can He not save souls and bring revival? Can He not convict the erring saint and restore them once again? Do we believe? We claim as a motto that we are to be growing in grace. We are to be grounded in the truth that we can go forth in love to a world who is lost and dying. That ought to be our desire. That ought to be our mission. That ought to be part of our goal. That we grow closer to the Lord day by day. That we remain grounded in His truth and in His Word and never stray from it. And go out as ambassadors of Jesus Christ to those who are lost and dying. So let me ask you, can He do those things through us? Can He still perform the miracle of seeing new souls saved? Folks, every time a person trusts Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful, blessed miracle to behold. And we ought to be thankful for Him. Can He not take the erring saint and turn them again and call him back to Himself as the prodigal son returned home to the loving Father? He most certainly can. What do we need to be afraid of trying to do for the Lord in this year? Folks, if He directs us to do it, don't you think He's going to provide and meet every need? Nothing is impossible with God. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know what limits that? Our faith. The lack of our faith, our unbelief, limits His working. Well, you and I ought to be ready to behold the miracle, because I believe the Lord is not done. I believe He has great and many blessings that He desires to bestow upon His people yet today. Folks, if God was done, you and I would be home with glory with Him right now. But He has more work still to be done here and throughout His world. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. There is still much to do for his name's sake. As we consider the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, I really believe the purpose of that miracle revolved around his disciples, who themselves struggled with unbelief, because there was a day coming that he was going to give to them the commission to go out into the world, and he would go home to his heavenly Father. He would give to them another comfort of the Spirit of God who lives within. But they wouldn't see him any longer face to face. Now, when you come to the book of Acts and you read their story, you'll find people who no longer really struggle with that unbelief. But in absolute faith, according to the world, they turned their world upside down for Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus was dealing with their unbelief, and he wants to deal with ours. We ought to be ready for the miracle that God has in store. There's much that he wants to do, but we've got to deal with the problem of our own unbelief. Let's pray together as we close.